Okay, Shalom Rabosei. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Yud Tes. Obviously, a very difficult day for Am Yisrael with the tragedy up in Meron. So, our learning today was Chusar Refuah Shleima for everybody who was injured, and Lili Nishmas for all those who Rachman Al Tzlan passed away in that tragic accident up near Rashbi's Kever. Okay, so we're on Yud Ches Mabez over here at the Mishnah, and again, if we've been going through the schedule. Of the preparations for the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur. So basically, if you remember right, again, the Mishnah starts off where we left off. We had Ziknei Beis Din, we had some Zikanim, some of the Chachamim teaching him some of the halachos, or at least chazering some of the halachos. So our Mishnah says, Masru Ziknei Beis Din Ziknei Kahuna. The Shluchei Beis Din sent him, now he gave him the Kohen Gadol over to the Kohanim, to the elders of the Kohanim. Rashi says to teach him how to do the proper keturas procedure, which apparently was difficult and hard to learn. So as the Gemara is going to say later on in the Masechta, v'halu beis avtinos, they would bring him to beis avtinos, was also a different chamber in the beis hamikdash, right? That's where they would, Rashi says, that's where they would make the keturas, so that's where he could practice. V'yishbihu v'niftiru v'halchulahem, and then the shluchei beis din made him swear, and then they left. What did he make them swear? So we'll see, the Gemara will point out. They made him swear that he should not be a tzaduki. Rashi also quotes this as well, because the tzadukim had a different way of preparing the ketores. The tzadukim insisted, they interpreted, obviously the tzadukim only interpreted the Torah with just the text of the Torah. They didn't have Torah Shabbat Peh. So they understood the pasuk as meaning that you should put the ketores on the coals and then go into the Beis HaMikdash, to the Kodesh Kadashim rather, to the Kodesh Kadashim with the smoke already coming up. Our procedure was, as Chazal taught us, right? The Mesorah passed down, is that the Kohen Gadol would put the Ketores on the coals. Again, he was holding a pan, right? He went into the Kodesh Kadashim with a pan of coals. So he would put the Ketores on the coals only once he was inside the Kodesh Kadashim. Okay, so we wanted to make sure that was done, that was proper. We made him swear that it wasn't a tzaduki. Again, just the Chazal talk about how exactly that worked, right? Like the Maisav is a tzaduki, so why would the swearing help? They also realized that swearing falsely is a big deal. But either way, so they would make him swear that he wasn't a tzaduki, that he would do everything that they taught him to do. From lo, and they said to him, Ishi Kohen Gadol, Mr. Kohen Gadol, sir, Anu Shluchei Beis Din, we are the Shluchim of Beis Din, v'ata Shluchenu, you are our Shliach. V'shliach Beis Din, mashpian anu alecha, v'shliach Beis Din, you're also the Shliach of Beis Din. Mashpian anu alecha, we make you swear, b'mi sheshachan shmo v'bayit zezeh, through a Kosh Baruch Hu, shlo tshana delver mikol ma she'amarnu lecha, they made him swear that he wouldn't change anything that we have taught you. But who parish bocha, v'hin parishin bocha, and he would turn and cry, and they would turn and cry, he would turn and cry, because... again, we already say this all out, right? If you're reading the davening on Yom Kippur, we say this straight out. But he would turn and cry because they thought that he was a tzaduki, and they would turn and cry, as Gemara is going to point out today, because it's not so good to be choshev b'ksherim. If he was a smart guy, I mean, if he's talmid chacham at that point, then doresh, he would be teaching, he'd be learning. And if not, talmid chachamim dorshin lefano, the talmid chachamim would learn with him. If he was used to reading. Meaning psukim, so then kore, then he would learn. He would read psukim from the Torah, etc. Vim lav kore the fun of, or people had to read for him. Uvemek kore the fun of. What would they read in front of him? What would they, again, the goal here is at this point, right? Again, we've mentioned before, but here the point is to keep him up all night to make sure he doesn't sleep and become a carry. So what would they read in front of him to keep him up all night? So be'il be'ezra v'divrei yomim, things that are exciting, things that are not shall we say chas v'shalom, but not the boring parts, quote unquote. Of the Torah, right? If you look at Rashi, shehein dvarim mamshicha mitzalei l'shomam, right? They're interesting, right? They bring the heart out to hear, right? Those things are, right? Stories and such, and inspiring debates back and forth, perhaps by Eov, right? Debate tzadik v'ra'lo, right? It's a whole philosophical debate. Okay, so you can stuff that stuff will keep you awake. And then Zechariah ben Kvutal, Omer Zechariah ben Kvutal said, Parim Harbe Karisi, the father of Daniel. So he testified that he also read Daniel. Daniel also is a story type book. He said, again, these are not specific, right? The idea is to keep him awake, keep him something interested in, so that he wouldn't fall asleep. Okay. Says the Gemara Tana, we learned in Abraisa, why would they take him to the base of Tinas? So Lalanda Chafina, to teach him how to, Chafina literally means to fill up your hand, that, right? That was part of the Ketores, how to take the Ketores, that was that was part of the practice that he had to go through. That's where, so that's where he did it. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa says Shnei Lishchos Hayu Lo LeKohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, right? We talked about the Parhedrin, the Lishchos HaParhedrin, where he would sleep and hang out. But he had two places where he would stay mostly during this quarantine, right? The 7-day quarantine where he's preparing for Yom Kippur. So he had two rooms. One of them Achas Lishkas Parhedrin. One of them was, as we mentioned, the Achas Lishkas Beis Aftinas. Again, that we mentioned right here in our Mishnah. Also, he had this chamber of the Beis Aftinas. Achas Betzafon, Achas Bedarom. One of them was in the north, and one of them was in the south. Now we're going to quote a couple of. Most of the daf here now, until the two dots at the bottom, is just proving that there were two chambers. One of them was in the north, one of them is in the south, and at the end, the Gemara's going to be like, I'm not sure which one was in the north, which one was in the south, and they're going to try and bring a proof, and maybe it wasn't logical that that was a good proof. All right, but either way, he had these two chambers, the Parhedrin and the Aftinas, the Beis Aftinas, and one of them was in the north, one of them is in the south. How do you know one of them was in the north? But Safon, Ditznan, because we're not in the Mishnah, Vav Lishkos Hayu Bazara. Again, this Mishnah is, as you might expect, also in Sedas Midos, where they describe the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash. There were six Lishkos in the Azara, Gilma Mitzafon, Gilma Madarom, three up north and three down south. Shabadarom, the ones in the south, were Lishkos HaMelech, Lishkos HaParva, Lishkos HaMadichin. Those are the three of them. We're going to talk about what do those serve as. So Lishkos HaMelech, the chamber of the salt, Shesham HaYunos Nemelech HaKorban, right? That's pretty straightforward. Every korban needed salt. I'll call korban chat HaKriv Melech, the Pasuk says. Every korban needed salt, so they had a certain chamber where they brought the salt from. Lishkos HaParva, what did they do there? That was the name of a guy, if I'm not mistaken. Shesham HaYun Meluchin Oros Kochim. There, that's where they would salt the hides, the skins of the kachim, right? Kohanim were entitled to many korbanos. They were entitled, I'm not sure if everyone, but I'm pretty sure that almost every korban, the kohanim were entitled to the hides. Either. Ve'al gaga ha'isa beis tvila, on the roof of the Lishkos Parva was a mikvah, right? The Kohen Gadol b'Yom Kippur, right? That's where the Kohen Gadol, if you remember, right? The Kohen Gadol went to the mikvah a bunch of times. So five times, if I'm not mistaken, right? The Gemara is going to say it in a few minutes. So he went a bunch. That was where the Beis HaTzvila was. That's where the mikvah was. Lishkos HaMadichin. What did they do there? Literally means the chamber of rinsing. So Sham HaMadichin Kirvei Kodshim. That's where they would wash out, right, the innards, right, of the kodshim, right, the insides of the Beis of the what's called the korbanos that are being offered, and they would be washed there. Umisham Mesiba Ola Lagag Beis HaParva. And there was like a staircase that went up to the roof, of the Beis HaParva. That's probably how he got up there to go to the mikvah. Gimel Shevet Safon, what about there were three in the north? So Lishkos HaEitz, Lishkos HaGolo, Lishkos HaGozis, those were three of them. What do they do? So Lishkos HaEitz, as you might imagine, the chamber of wood. I'm Rabbi Lezer Ben Yaakov, Shechachti Maha HaEitz Meshameshes. Fascinating, he forgot what that was for. But Abishol Amar, you can imagine, Abishol is going to explain it to you, right? We had this once before. It says Lishkos Kohen Gadol. It was actually the Lishka of the Kohen Gadol. And that was part of where the Kohen Gadol was. So Haisa Achorei Shtehem was behind both of them, right? Meaning the Lishkas HaGola and the Lishkas HaGazis. V'gag Shloshten Shaveh, and the roof of all three of them were the same. And Lishkas HaGola, Sham HaYabor HaGola. Right, in the Lishkas HaGola, there was a pit, meaning there was a well, that's where they would get water from. V'agalgal, Nason Alav, and there was a wheel, right, you can imagine there was a well there to draw water. Misham Maspikin Mayim L'chol HaZara, and that's where they got water for the entire courtyard, Mistama drinking water, right, not while they had a river that they would stop up, and they had not to wash necessarily the floors, that they had other ways of washing, but this was the place where they did the water, meaning to drink. So Lishkos HaGazis, what was that? It literally means that's the chamber of stone. Sham Hayah Sanhedrin Shal Yisrael Yosheves, right, that's where the Sanhedrin sat, Vedanes HaKohanim, and they kind of judged the Kohanim. Misha Nimtza Bo Psul Hayalove Shchorim, anybody who they found was not actually a Kohen or so had some sort of blemish in his lineage, so he would wear black, Misatev Shchorim, he would wear black clothing, Vyatza Vaholichlo, and he would leave. But anybody who checked out, so Hayalovish Lavanim, who would wear white, Umisadiv Lavanim, right, Vinichnas Umishamishim Echava Kohanim, right, he would go and service, right, his with his, what's it called, with his other brethren. Now, just quickly, did I mention before? No, okay, fine, invited. Good. Okay. Now, again, that proves that there was one chamber of the Kohen Gadol, right, in the north, right, because that's what we pointed out, right, that's literally the last thing we said, right, Avashol says, Lishchas Kohen Gadol Haisa, Achori Shtehen, right, that's what we're saying, that they had a Lishcha, he had a chamber over there. But Darom, Achaz Badarom, but there was one chamber that the Kohen Gadol had in the south, the Tan, like we learned in the Mishnah, also in, this one is in Tamid. It's also in Midos. So I take it back. It's a Gemara and Tamid as well, but it's found in Midos. Shiva Sharem Hayu Bazara. There were seven gates in the courtyard. Gimel Batzav and Gimel Badarom. Three in the north, three in the south. Achaz Bamizrach and one in the east. Shabadarom. What were the gates in the south? Shad Laka, the gate of lighting, literally lighting a fire. Sheni Lo Shar Korban. The next one was the Shar of the Korban. Shlishi Lo Shar Amayim, and the third one was the Shar. Hamayim. Again, Rashi is not sure why they called. Where's that Rashi over here? Yeah, Rashi's not sure. Which one is he not sure of? Hold on. I'm 90% sure I saw that. So the just the last one, Shar Hamayim, was what that they brought through for the Nisach Hamayim on Sukkot. Yeah, Shar Adlaka, Shar Korban, right? Lo Yudati Lama Nikra Shmamkach. Right? Rashi says, I have no idea why they called those gates the gate of lighting and the gate of the Korban. Okay. Sheva Mizrach, they what about the gates in the east? That was the Shar Nikanor. That's already what we mentioned previously in the Masechta. We've mentioned also in the Daf Yomi cycle the story about Nikanor, right? How we have the gates were going to drown and Nikanor threw himself off. Okay, fine. The whole story we'll get to a little bit later. Ushtei Lishkos Hayusham, and there were two Lishkos in the east. Achaz b'yemino v'achaz b'smolo, one on the right, one on the left. Achaz lishchas Pinchas ha-malvesh, right, one of them was the chamber of Pinchas, who apparently dressed the Kohen Gadol. Achaz lishchas osei chavitim, and that one was where they made the korban chavitim, the minchas chavitim that the Kohen Gadol, right, that was a korban the Kohen Gadol had to bring every single day. Shemat Safon, what about the north? There were three gates. Shar Nitzotz binyan, Shar Nitzotz, and that was a binyan achsadra haya. There was some sort of how do you change it? Achsadra is like a pergola or something. That was some sort of kind of building. Okay, va'aliyah benuyolo al gabov, and it had another chamber on top of it. V'sham kohanim shomrim milamala ve'levim milamata, and that's where the kohanim and the levim would stand watch. Right, there's a mitzvah in the Torah that you have to stand watch in the base of the mikdash, but that's where they would do it. They're one of the places anyway. V'shalafnim emenu ha'chel, and inside of that was the chel. Again, we mentioned it before. Sheni lo, the second one, the second gate was shara korban. Shlishi lo shara besamokid, and the third one was the gate for the Beis Hamokid. V'atayna, we learned about Yisrach, Chamesh Tavilos, V'asara, Kedushim, Tovel Kohen Gadol, U'mekadosh Bo Vayom. Again, the Brisa teaches us that on Yom Kippur, so the Kohen Gadol would have five Tavilos, and five and ten washing his hands and feet. That's Tavilos, obviously, is Mikvah, and V'asara, Kedushim, so that's washing the hands and feet. Tovel Kohen Gadol, U'mekadosh Bo Vayom. The Kohen Gadol would do that, right? He would go to the Mikvah, and wash on that day. V'kulan b'kodesh al gag beis haparva, and all of them were done in this mikvah, right in the area on top of the beis haparva. Chutz mizu, except for the first one, right? Except for the one we're talking about right now. Shaisa b'chol, that was outside of the kodesh area, right? Al gabei shar hamayim, that was on top of the gate of the water. Maybe that's why he called it there. I don't know. But uvetzad lishchaso haisa, and that was the side. And again, this is the point that we're trying to make at the end. Right, where was next to the chamber of the Kohen Gadol, right next to his lishcha. So that proves that the Kohen Gadol also had a chamber in the south. I recorded all that to teach me that the Kohen Gadol had one in the north, one in the south. V'lo yidana, and I don't know. Meaning again, this if you remember the first line on the daf, Amar Rav Papa, right? It's still Rav Papa talking. So Rav Papa said, V'lo yidana, I don't know. E lishchas parhedrin b'tzafon, lishchas beis avtinus b'darom, o lishchas beis avtinus b'tzafon, lishchas parhedrin b'darom. I don't know what's in the north, what's in the south. When Mistaver, it makes more sense. He says that Lishkos Parhedrin Badarom, that it made sense that the place where he slept, right, the place where he actually stayed, would be in the south. Because my time, why? Because Maktim Koi, Umesach Esragala V'tovil, because what would he do? He would get up every morning, right, kind of get ready to roll, and go to the bathroom, and go to the mikvah, on top of the, right, get Shar Hamayim, right, which is next to, right, again, that was on the south. So it makes sense that there would be a mikvah over there. That's where he would wash his hands, etc. Then he would go to the north and he would practice the ketores. Right, and then he would go to Beis HaMikdash and do the avoda that he was ready to do. Right, again, practicing, right, doing the avoda. Right, we learned that. That's what we learned a couple days ago. And then they would sprinkle on him the mechatas, like Rabbi Akiva said, right towards the end of the day. If you remember, they would sprinkle on him mechatas. Right, not only Rabbi Akiva, they said for all, right, all 7 days he got sprinkled, but Rabbi Akiva pointed out that it happened at the end of the day. Anyway, they would sprinkle on him the mechatos, and then he would go back to the south, v'tolo v'nayach, and go back to the mikvah, right, again, in case he was a neheriv shemesh, right, and then he would go to sleep, and then, right, he'd get up the next morning. And that makes sense. I mean, it makes sense that he would sleep and go to the mikvah, right, in the same area. I'm raised, because if you're going to tell me, lishkos barhedrin b'tzafa, and if you tell me that the barhedrin was in the north, right, and the Aftinus was in the south. So then, Maktim Kav Mesach Raglav, what's going to happen? He's going to get up, he's going to go to the bathroom, Vazal Ladarom, the top of the Gamar Chafina. Then he's going to go down south to go to the mikvah on top of the Sharamayim, right, and then he's going to practice the Ketores. Right, the Asad Samitish, Rabbi the Vorokul Yoma, and then he's going to go to the Beit Samitish. So Lahadi Panya Madhuala. Lahadi Panya Madhuala, and then at night, or towards night, before nightfall, they would sprinkle on him. Then he'd go back to the south, go to the mikvah, and then he'd have to go all the way back to the north of the Beis HaMikdash to go to sleep. Right, that doesn't make sense. Right, why would we bother him so much? Right, why would that doesn't make sense? So it must be that the Beis HaParva was in the south. So Gemara says, 1 second. Why not? Why should you bother him so much? Right, the Tzduki who lifrosh. Right, if he's a tzeduki, he's gonna get out of here. I mean, if it's such a pain, right, and the tzedukim, right, Lachora did not really care so much about Avodas Hashem, right. So Lamaisa, if you're gonna bother him to do all this effort, apparently, again, the north and south of Beis HaMikdash was not like right next to each other, right? It was a walk. Right, so if you're gonna really schlep him around, so maybe he'll just be like, forget it, I don't need this, and I'll get out of here. Inami, another reason, Shalot Tazuach Daito Olav. Right, so he won't become a Baal Gaiva, right? We don't want the Kohen Gadol who's a Baal Gaiva. That's a terrible thing, right? We want the Kohen Gadol to be humble and ready for Yom Kippur, right? To daven for Am Yisrael. But if he's so if he's being given every afforded comfort, so he's going to get a little haughty. But if he's being schlepped around like an Eved, so then maybe not. So Gatima lo tema hachi, because if you don't say this, that they do it on purpose. So avdinu lo tervayu b'hadi adadi. So why wouldn't you just put both chambers in the same room, or in the same area? Right? Give him two rooms on the right side. Right? You go to a hotel where you have one room on the tenth floor, and one room for the family on the first floor. So that's a pain, right? Why did you put the two rooms together? Right? Or just one room. Just do everything right in one room. Why are you slept all around? So that must be that was on purpose to make it a little bit uncomfortable and not so fun to be the Kohen Gadol, or to make him humble, if he's a tzeduki, to make him give up. Okay, right. From below the Kishi Kohen Gadol, they said to him. The Mishnah says they said to him, Mr. Kohen Gadol, sir, let me have it to Rav Huna Berei Rav Yeshua. Like I said, we are your shliach and you are our shliach, so maybe that's against Rav Huna. Dam Rav Huna, because there's a machokas as to whether the Kohanim are Shluchei HaKadosh Baruch Hu or Shluchei Am Yisrael. And that's the Gemara is going to quote right here. The Amar Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua, Hani Katni Shluchei D'Rachmaninu. Rav Huna says, the Kohanim are the Shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, that's when they do the Avoda, right, they're the Shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Lamaisa, again, to do the Avoda for Am Yisrael, to make sure that this is done and taken care of. So Rav Huna says that Am Yisrael is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shluchim. The Amar Shluchim Didaninu, because if you're going to tell me that there are Shluchim, that doesn't work out. Because if you know, right, just to read in the Gemara on the base, Mi'ika Midi Da'anan Lo Matzina Lameva Shluchim Didan Matzu Vavdi. Right, do you find a case where someone can't do something, but a Shliach can? Meaning, if you learn the second parak of Kiddushin, that's what my son is learning now. So a Shliach, the Koch of a Shliach, emanates from the person who sent him. Right, a person sends a shliach to be mekadesh a woman, right? That only works because the guy who sent the shliach wants to marry the woman, right? A shliach who just goes in to try and marry a woman for some other guy, right, that doesn't help. He's not that guy's shliach. Right? Shliach only works mikach of the shaleach, the guy who's sending it. So how does it work over here? We can't, the Jews, the regular Am Yisrael, right, the Yisraelim like myself, cannot do avodah beis hamikdash. So there are the kohanim is my shliach to do the avodah beis hamikdash. I can't do it. How is the kohen a shliach of Am Yisrael? Right? It doesn't make sense. Right? On the other hand, right? The language of our Mishnah seems to say you are our shliach, right? You are our shliach, and we are shliach based, and you are our shliach, etc. Right? The language of our Mishnah seems to imply that the Kohen Gadol was the shliach of the people. So the Gemara says, it's docha that question, right? Okay, the language of the Mishnah, whatever. This is what they meant to say. They're not saying that you are our shlichim. It's just that's the way they phrased it. But the al das beisdin, through the das of beisdin, through your das, right? We're of one mind. We're of one goal here. But they're not actually saying that you are our shlichim. Again, according to Rav Huna, brother of Yeshua, that's how he would have to read our Mishnah. Okay, says the Mishnah further. Now, who poresh yubocha v'hem prushin yubochim? He would cry, they would cry. So, who poresh yubocha shechashu tzduki? He would cry because they thought he was suspected of being a tzduki. V'hem prushin yubochim, they would cry, v'amar Rabbi Yishob ben Levi, kol ha'chosh v'ksherim lo kebegufo. Because Rabbi Yishob, right? They would cry because anybody who's chosh v'ksherim, right, he gets afflicted in his own body. V'kol kach lama. So, why do we go through all this? Right, why do you have to say all this stuff? Shalit takim mibachutz v'yikanis kederech hatzdukim. Meaning, what was the whole problem of suspecting him to be a tzduki? Because yitakim mibachutz, because the tzdukim said you should prepare the ketores outside the Kodesh Kadashim v'yachnis, and then go in. And only then go in. And our shita, again, what we do is that we put the ketores on the coals on the inside. Again, because the pasuk says, "Ki be'anan ereel akaporis." Right, we read it last week's parsha. Parsha's Akorimos. Ki be'anan ereel akaporis. With a cloud, you should appear right by the kaporis. The kaporis is the top of the aram. So the tzukim read it literally, and they say, "Okay, there needs to be a cloud there already. So therefore, you have to put the ketores on the ashes before you go in." So our tradition, right, Masora's understanding is that no, the ketores goes on the coals inside the Kodesh Kadashim. Okay. That's right. Yeah, right. So, okay. Fine. Turn around with another price. Maisa v'tuki echa sheitkin mibachutz v'ichnes pitziya. So there was a story about one tzduki actually did this. And the one Kohen Gadol was actually a tzduki. He did the ketores like his shita and haya sameach simcha gedola. And he was so happy. Pago ba'avi, his father saw him. He said, Amar lo b'ni. He said, my son, afal pi shetzduki manu, even though we're tzdukim, mityarin anu min haprushim. We are nervous. And from the way, you have to be afraid of the prushim. Right, yeah, that's meaning the frum Jews, right? The charedim, shall we say, right? You have to be careful, right? And meaning don't flaunt it. And we say you have to be careful. So Amar lo, so the Kohen Gadol said to him, right? Kol yomai ha'isi mitzdar al mikrazeh. For my entire life, I was bothered by this pasuk. Ki ve'anan erei la'kaporis. Right, that you should put a cloud on, right? Have the cloud and serve for on the kaporis, right on the aron. So Amarti matzai yavo liyodi v'kaimena. When will I be able to fulfill this mitzvah? I'm so excited, I really want to do it. So Akshav Shabbat Liyodi, now that I am able to fulfill it, Loi Kaimena, right, I shouldn't fulfill it, I shouldn't be happy about it. Amru, they said, Lohayu Yomim Mu'atim, it wasn't many days, Ad Shem Meis, until he died, V'hutal Va'ashba, and he wasn't buried, he was just thrown in the garbage, V'hayu Toloim, Yotzim Mechotmo, and there were worms crawling out of his nose. If Rashi says over here, Shehu Rishon Le'ivarin, Likanez Le'bayis, right, it was the first of his limbs to go into the house. Okay, fine. Meaning the fishu boli lefana. But apparently, that was the first thing that went into the Kodesh Kodashim. So therefore, his nose was affected. Yeah, how does that work? And not his feet, not his legs, right? Again, you can imagine maybe if he was standing like haughtily and he had his neck out and his nose forward. Well, you can imagine maybe the nose went in first. Again, just to point out, fascinating over here. It seems like the tzduki wasn't a bad guy. Right? He understood the pasuk one way. He was like, oh, I can't wait to fulfill this mitzvah. Now I get to do it. Now I'm not going to be excited. So what do you see from this Gemara? I got just for a quick one hashkafic moment that you can be as firm as you want, but if it's not emes, so then it's nothing. Meaning the emes take a shot on the pasuk is you put the ketores on outside, not inside. Right? You can be as firm as you want. Right? This guy seems like a firm guy. Right? He can't wait to fulfill the mitzvah like he understood it. Yeah, but if it's not the mitzvah, if it's not the halacha, so then what are you waiting for? Then that's nothing. Right? I had a Rebbe who used to say, you're not doing Judaism, you're doing, I don't know, he used the word, I think, well, let's say my name. Right? If it's not Judaism, it's Tzviism. Right? If you come up with your own pshat, if you think that that's the pshat, and you do that mitzvah, so you're not serving Kosh Baruch Hu, you're serving yourself. That's the same shot. It's a pretty terrifying shot. But again, if it's not MS, and even though you mean well, I'm sure he meant well. I'm sure he thought he was right. I'm sure he wanted to live a very well tzduki life, and he was able to infiltrate the highest levels of Kahuna. He was the Kohen Gadol, unbelievable. But okay, well, if what you're trying to do is not emes, is not actually the mitzvah, so then you're not accomplishing anything, even though you have the best of intentions. Okay, that's pretty intense, but let's go by there. V'yesh omrim v'tziyasu nigav. Some people say that no, not only did it happen a few days later, but it happened right away, that he died immediately. The Tanya Rabbi Chiya, because Rabbi Chiya taught, kimin kol nishma be'azara. He heard that there was a voice, that somebody heard something, a sound in the azara. Shabba malach v'chotvo al panav. Malach came and kicked him in the face. V'nichnesu echa v'kohanim, and the kohanim went in, umatsu, and they found kikaf regal egel ben ktefav. And we found the hoof of a cow that was between, literally between his shoulders. So I'm not sure, again, if he kicked him in the face, maybe that means that it went all the way through his forehead. Right? Okay. Meaning, but either way, the Maisa, the imagery here is that he hit him pretty hard. His stomach got killed. Shemaz Buzik says, "Regalim Egel Regal Yisharav Kaf Regalim Kikaf Regal Egel." Again, that's talking about the Malachim. So it could be that he got kicked in the face and went through, or maybe that means that he, I'm not sure if that's allegorical, that they saw the mark on his shoulders. Okay, maybe kicked him in the back. All right, either way, Elisa, he got taken down right on his way out, or while he was still in there. Amrav Zichari Ben Kvuto. And he had said that, I even read from Daniel, right? Not only the other Sfarim, Ezra, etc., that we had mentioned before. So, Masni le Rav Chanan bar Rava Lechia bar Rav, Kamei de Rav. And he said, and he taught this Mishnah in front of Rav, and he said, Amar Rabbi Zichari ben Kfutal with a pen. Umichagale Rav biyade, and Rav kind of gestured with his hands, and that it wasn't a pay, but it was a base. I guess he made a base with his fingers, maybe. So Gemara says, v'nimale, so why didn't he just tell him that's with a base and not a pay? So Gemara says, mimar kriyashma avakari, and he was reading kriyashma. So Gemara says, that doesn't make sense. P'yagavna mishari, what, you're allowed to gesture during kriyashma? V'am Rav Yitzchak, bar Shmuel bar Marta, hakari is kriyashma v'lo yirmos be'inav, v'lo yikros be'sososav, v'lo yorav etzposav. Someone who reads kriyashma, he shouldn't, hint with his eyes, and he shouldn't kind of gesture with his lips, and he shouldn't point with his fingers. V'tani Rabbi Lazar Chasma Omer, and Rabbi Lazar ben Chasma said, "Akari Krishma Omer Mas Beinav V'Mekaris B'Tzevzosav V'Mar B'Tzevzosav." If someone's reading Krishma and doing these things, so Allah V'Kasa Omer, the pasuk says about him, "V'Lo Sikarasa Yaakov." Right? You have not called to me, Yaakov. Meaning, it's not a good Krishma. Right? You can't do that stuff. What are you focused on? Right? You're gesturing to other people while you're saying Krishma. Gemara says, "Lokasha Haba Perikrishan Haba Periksheni." Now, that's only if you're reading the first paragraph of Kriyashma, right? Kriyashma, Shema Yisrael, V'ahavta, etc. But by the time you get to Ma'ayim Shamoa, so then apparently it is mutter to kind of signal and do whatever else they were doing. Tana Rabbanan, let's get to the Mishnah, V'dibarta Bam, right? Again, that's by Kriyashma, right, obviously. Bam below B'tfila, that with it, you're allowed to speak of it, but not, meaning not during Tfila, meaning you should say Kriyashma out loud, but not during tefillah, meaning you should be able to hear the words you're saying when you say Kriyashma, but not when you're davening. V'dibarta bam, another drasha, what is that? Bam yishchal rishus l'davar, v'lo b'dvar mecherim. With it, with them, you're allowed to speak, but not with other things. What's that? So if you look at Rashi says bam is b'divrei Torah, right? In the last pasuk that we, right, what's v'dibarta bam? V'yu adrim ha'ela shenachim tzivcha yom al v'vecha, so it's a pasuk in Kriyashma, but you can also learn what's Vishinatam Vayud Vrima Ela Shenachim Tzurichayam Alavavacha. What does that mean? That's referring to Divrei Torah. So Bam Yishlecha Rishus Ladaber, you should be speaking Divrei Torah and not other things. Meaning, don't speak Dvar B'Telem, right? Don't speak what they call in the art school translations idle chatter, right? Don't bum around. Don't waste your words, right? Speak Divrei Torah, don't speak Dvar Mecherim. Rabbi Acha Omer, Rabbi Acha says, "V'dibarta bam." What does that teach us? Hase osan keva v'al ta'asim aray. That you should make the divrei Torah keva, right? A little bit less intense. Right? Not that you should never speak idle matters, but you should make the keva, the main thing that you speak, should be divrei Torah v'al ta'asim aray. Don't make them temporary, right? Like the lashon aray, like you have by a sukkah, right? When you diras kera, diras aray, diras keva, diras aray. That again, you should make the majority, the main things that you do. Right, that should be the divrei Torah, and the other things that you speak about should be divrei, should be aray. Amar Rava, Rava says, "Asach sichas chulin." If someone speaks, right, again, just a regular sichas chulin is a regular conversation. Oh, excuse me, over Ba'asa, he violates an Asay. Shnamar, the Pasuk says, if you did Bar Tabam, you should speak the Devei Torah. Right? If you don't speak the Devei Torah, then you violate an Isra Asay. Bumbo, B'dvar Mechayim, like we learned before. Rav Bar Yaakov, Omer, over Balav. Not only is he violating Isra Asay, he also violates an Isra Lav. Shnamar, the Pasuk says, call Dvarim Yagiyim, Yagiyim, I'm not sure. Hadvarim Yagiyim, maybe. Lo Yuchal Ish Lidaber. Right? Again, that's Lo Yuchal Ish Lidaber. Again, interesting enough, that's not actually a pasuk in the Torah. That's a pasuk in, where is it, Koheles or something? Yeah, in Koheles. So it's not, again, when you say he's not actually violated Nisr, Nisr Lav, so that's, okay, meaning in the Harishos, meaning that the pasuk says you don't have permission. Okay, and I wouldn't count it as one of the 613, but it's also perhaps perhaps in Nisr Lav. Okay, all right, so again, whether that's without elaborating further. Devar Tzarechin, if that's one of the 613 Mistameis, that's not what he means, because he quotes a pasuk in Navi. But either way, again, connoting the idea that a person should be careful and watch what he speaks. Certainly, nowadays, with the tragedy in Am Yisrael, so we should all be careful about the things that we say and the Torah that we learn. Have a great Shabbos. Shabbos should be a nechama for all of Am Yisrael, and we'll be right there in the Heilige Shas tomorrow.